In the beginning, there was a creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 224, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm Simon. I have lots to talk about.
I'm Daniel.
So, and I have nothing to talk about.
Oh, I think you have many things to talk about. I got a question for you, Kevin. Somebody introduced me to Letterboxd. Well, I got to say I'd known about Letterboxd for a while, but I haven't really looked into it.
Letterboxing? What?
You Letterboxd. Mean, like, the app Letterboxd. They review.
Oh, films. No, so, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, it's good. Well, it tells me, like, I click, it's like a review site, and you just click on reviews, but that's not what I really want it for. It reminds me of what I've watched.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going through year by year, checking off all the movies I've ever seen. Because I have nothing else to do with my life.
So you just check off everything?
No, I know, it's weird, because I'm going, like, films like 1980, and like, at the top, it'll have the big ones, like Indiana Jones or whatever in 81. Right? But as you get down, it gets smaller and smaller films, and I'm still finding things even in there. So I've got 836 done so far. So that is the Extra Features podcast on Letterboxd, and we'll follow you back.
Cool.
So if you guys want to know what I'm up to, there's a good place to start.
I'll have to look into that.
So I got another question here. Rutger Hauer died today.
Yes, that was very sad.
And I did get to meet him. I do have a quick Rutger Hauer story if anyone wants to hear it.
Sure.
I can't remember the name of the film. I really can't. But I remember I met him. He was filming. A friend of mine was working security on the set and gave me a call and told me where the set was. Mm-hmm. So I waited up by the trailer for him. He gets out of the car and goes, "Hey, I had a really late night. Do you mind coming in my trailer?" I'm like, okay. So me and my friend, who is passed away since then, and went in the trailer with Rutger Hauer and sat talked to him for 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
Signed our stuff, said thank you, really thank you for waiting. I hope you don't mind coming. It couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah,
and we went out. I've maybe like a 10, 15 minute conversation with him. Like, I don't know, just saying nice to meet you, you know, thanks for being a fan. It wasn't anything major than that. We didn't discuss Blade Runner or anything. I think that was appropriate. I just thanked him for his time.
That's a hobo with a shotgun.
No, I don't think it was hobo with a shotgun. It was in the early 90s.
No. Like, was he's in Hobo with a Shotgun, right?
Yes.
And Blade Runner. So, yeah, there's my Rutger Hauer story. Very quick. I just want to say nice man.
Nice.
And he took the time out. And, I mean, I'm sure he commented on the photos and things. This is before we had cameras and things, so I don't have a photo with him.
Yeah.
But he did sign a couple 8x10s, and like I said, could not have been nicer.
That's cool. Well, we're sad on other reasons.
Why? Yeah,
because he was supposed to be at Fan Expo Canada.
Oh, I
and Fan Expo Boston. He was part of a Blade Runner reunion, so we're sad that we're sad that he passed away, and that's too bad because fans were looking forward to meeting him.
What do you guys do in that situation? I mean, I understand you signed contracts months ago, I presume.
Yeah. No, there's nothing we can do. I mean, we announced our condolences on the various websites. Anybody that had bought a photo op with him will get their money back, obviously. And he won't be able to participate in the reunion panel. And he will reach out and try to find with Blade Runner to be part of the reunion.
No.
So right now it's Albert James Olmo and Sean Young that are doing.
Actually, so, I need something signed by Sean Young to complete a cast photo. I'm actually, my friend of mine's going to the show, so I need him to get it signed.
Do you have, what?
Are prices released for that yet, or no?
I think if you go to the website, if we know what they're charging, you go to their bio page, and we list what it costs for an autograph and what it costs for...
Cool. I just
been a Blade Runner.
Yeah,
I know.
You're breaking up pretty bad today, Kevin.
Yeah, so are you, actually. So.
Oh.
Am I?
Yeah.
We all are.
It's going to be one of those nights.
So here's what I'm going to do.
Should we start the call over?
No.
Is this better? I'm gonna switch over to just the speakerphone.
Much better. So, Dan, what have you been up to?
Trying to catch up on new releases. Finished writing a screenplay, so did the first draft for that with my buddy. Now just trying to catch up on new releases. Not doing the podcast.
Do you want to let Kevin in on our secret and all our audience our secret? That mean you were going to start teaming up for the next few months, working on our own screenplay?
Ooh, yes.
It's coming.
Wow.
It's coming. I got to send him some stuff when I get back from Montreal, which I'm going to this weekend.
Yeah,
and
true.
With my Extra Features podcast t-shirt, which you can get at www.extrafeatures.ca, or I think they're $25, and then plus postage.
But
I'll be meeting some celebrities with my t-shirt on.
This is the Just for Last?
At the Just for Last, my 28th year. I've been there 26 of the 28 years. I've been going.
I've been there, what, 2 out of 6 since I've known you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I missed one when I was 21, and the year my father passed away, I didn't go.
Ah, shit.
So that's only 2 years. So, Kevin, have you been far from home lately?
No, I've been at home. I haven't gone away, but Spider-Man did.
Oh, good. He did.
Damn. Spider-Man Far From Home, starring Tom Holland, Zendaya, Samuel L. Jackson, Jake Gyllenhaal, Marissa Tomei, Jon Favreau, and Jacob Batalon.
Jacob, who is he even playing? Why are you noticing him bald?
The best friend. Now, is he bald in real life? Because I saw him in another movie where he was bald, and now it's just distracting that knowing that it's a wig.
Yeah, he shaved. So I don't know if he had shaved his head when they did the movie, but he definitely had shaved his head by the time of the press junket.
Yeah.
All right, so who wants to start?
I could start a bit, and then I'll come back later. I enjoy this film, and I mean, I enjoy Spider-Man's one of my favorite characters. I mean, it'd be hard for really to me annoy me in a Spider-Man film. Spider-Man 3 did do that, though. So my question is here, I mean, I love Mysterio as a villain. I thought it was a nice, I don't know what I'm looking for. I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a phenomenal job, really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, I enjoy these films. I mean, they have good action, but I feel they're just superhero films. I don't feel they add more depth to me than I'm looking for in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I like them. I enjoy them. I don't hate them. But I feel they need more depth. But I don't think I'm ever going to get that from these films. I mean, but Avengers Endgame gave that to me.
Sure.
So,
I mean, this was definitely a lighter popcorn movie after Endgame. And it definitely dealt with the after bit, so much so that the issue spoiler warning is that you needed to see if you plan to see Avengers, go see it before you see Spider-Man.
Well, that was nice of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was a great idea because Sony ruined Endgame by running stuff in the train for a movie that was just being released.
Well,
Didn't they like block out like the like on the passport IDs like what years and stuff? Like, didn't they block that out because it could be a spoiler?
I think they showed the pilot. I don't remember if they blacked it out or not. They probably did, or they fudged it.
Oh, okay. So
you couldn't tell it was like 2023 or whatever it was.
Well, Kevin, you say this is ruining the trailer. So should people stop watching trailers like I do? Maybe that's the plan. It needs to happen.
Well, as a person that likes to have their ruins movied.
You do.
Yes, I watched the trailers. But you know what? It's a problem that some studios have. Like, I do think that Marvel Studios puts a lot of to tease you, and they put stuff in them that you don't see in the film. And I think that this was a Sony trailer, and they have a tendency to give away the entire movie in their movie trailers. So what was interesting was that, like a Marvel trailer, they had a whole bunch of stuff in it that wasn't in the final film.
Well, I did see the trailer. They had lots of stuff that wasn't in the film. That gangster fight I liked.
The game.
I watched it after gangster the fight, film.
The passport office. There were other things. Like, he goes to the store where the guy would be saved in the first movie with the cat.
Yes.
And they have a conversation about stuff. Now, all of that stuff is going to be in... Peter gets ready for the trip, which would be like a 30-minute film, short film that will be in the... Oh, okay. Yeah. So they saved all that stuff that they basically said, we wanted to get to Europe faster. So we cut a lot of stuff and concentrated on the European trip and then what happened after. So they're going to put it together into kind of like a, so you could walk and you could watch the film.
Yeah, well, that's kind of nice, because it seems like it was going to take like 45 minutes to get to Europe. Okay.
And, I mean, premise wise, I mean, the film is pretty, right after Endgame, and Peter's upset about the death of a major Marvel character, which I'll spoil as Iron Man.
Iron Man dies.
Iron Man's dead? Oh, no, I can't watch that.
Wait. And then we do spoil movies here on the shows.
I
haven't seen Iron Man yet.
Wait, I haven't even seen any Marvel movies.
Peter and his friends blipped out. They call it the blip, which is the people that disappeared and then came back. So they're now 5 years in. Some classmates did not blip out, so they're now 5 years older, so they make some funny jokes about that. But Peter, he just wants to get away because he's been, you know, this is an intense experience. He doesn't want to be Spider-Man. He wants to leave the costume behind. And he wants to tell MJ that he likes her. And it's kind of cute. It's kind of a cute little romance story. But along the way, Nick Fury is trying to reach him. And it turns out it's to come to Europe, conveniently. And it's there that he meets Quentin Beck, a warrior from another world, or so he says, who his friends dub Mysterio, which he likes. And if anybody knows anything about Spider-Man comics and Mysterio, and I was surprised at the number of people that did not, because they were very surprised at the reveal that Mysterio was not a nice guy, but he and his team had ties to the universe all the way where the guy that Obadiah Stane is the main tech guy for him. So anyway, they go to Europe, kind of interesting. The film is pretty good. I like the drama between the kids. There's some funny moments. Nick Fury's okay. Probably one of my favorite scenes in the Spider-Man, Peter Parker gets pulled into a way station in Prague, near Prague. And this blonde woman says, okay, this is, Nick Fury says you need new costumes, so you're here.
Take off your pants.
Take off your clothes. And he's like, what? Huh? And then he kind of pauses. And he starts taking them off, and then a classmate opens the door and is like, oh, my God, and takes a picture.
Flash Thompson.
No, that was the guy that was competing for MJ.
Yeah.
I thought that was Flash Thompson.
No, it was
Flash Thompson. Yeah, Flash wouldn't let him hear the answer to that. Because he was the one that just Peter put the airstrike on, because he was going to send MJ the picture.
I like
this, though.
Tony Stark left him a pair of glasses, which control all of his defense systems.
Yeah, really smart idea, Tony, giving a teenage kid glasses. Yeah, that works.
Right. Which is made light of, actually, in later scenes. I mean, it seems like the whole Mysterio plot is devised to from Peter.
Well, that's what I would be doing if I was Mysterio. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, then?
It has...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, I'll be quick.
You're good.
Here, I'll try not to jump. But the best sequence in the film, well, my opinion, is the Mysterio nightmare sequence, where Peter goes to tell Nick Fury, and it turns out it's all illusions created by Mysterio, and then he literally controls everything, how Peter perceives what he's wearing, to the environment, to who he's talking to, and everything just shows the extent of Mysterio's illusions, and plays with perspective. Iron Man is a zombie corpse in it at one point.
Yeah.
Lots of great visuals. And that's, to me, that's something right out of... And great big battle scene at the end. Peter comes into his own with the help of Happy, and he kind of does this Iron Man Jr. Scene where he makes a new costume. Oh, anyway, I thought it was a lot of fun. I like the little save. Let's talk about the end stuff after our reviews.
Okay.
But what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, for me, the first half was, like, disappointing because it felt like a self-contained movie in a way before the big, like, halfway twist. Like, it felt like, okay, so wait, is this the big finale? Like, at the... Because this is when I check my phone to see how much time had passed. It was, like, only an hour. It was at the halfway point.
Checking the phone, really?
I took it out for, like, 3 seconds.
No, I don't care. I would have thrown something at you.
3 seconds.
I don't care.
Okay.
And when you see the shoe coming out of your head, it's mine. I walk it back.
No, I'll put it on my foot.
Yeah, you're flying up your butt next time.
No, yeah, yeah, and then I really stood, like, I still enjoyed it, but I thought, like, the pacing wasn't great in the first half. But then, like, after the reveal, I really, really, like, started to really like it. Yeah, and what you said about the nightmare sequence, Kevin, I feel like, man, like, now that there's going to be, like, a Doctor Strange horror movie, I feel like that's them showing what they can do with that, and that's...
Yeah.
That's, like, a great kind of even teaser for, like, what they could do.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I thought the story was good. The humor was good. Like the Ned and Betty Brant, I think is what her name is. I don't know. Like, them, like, being,
a little,
like,
romance.
Yeah, a little romance. It was awkward, but I think it's, like, supposed to be. So, like,
yeah, I thought that was a great bit of
awkward
comedy. I thought they had a great bit with that.
Yeah, some of it, like, yeah, like, the texting thing was a little okay, but no, a bit of it worked.
Hold on, Dan.
Yeah.
When that scene happened, I kind of thought of you. Do you play this game? Nope. Do you play the games at all? Nope. I'm going, this is Dan's hookup on the plane. This is literally how you get a girl. I 100% think so.
You play Fortnite?
Yes.
No. Okay, then. Well, shit. I don't know. Can't argue. A little bit me.
What are you talking about, a little bit you? 100% that would be you on a plane with a chick.
On a plane? Oh. Yeah, I don't travel anywhere. I never go far from home.
Well, maybe you should change that.
I need money first. No, yeah, I enjoyed it. Marvel Lite, like, it's a good movie to, like, answer some questions after Endgame, and just it's fun. And yeah, the teases, the stingers at the end are crazy.
Let's discuss a couple of things. Who let JB Smoove into this film?
Oh, true. So in the Spider-Man advertising. For the first movie, Home, they did some car commercials where J.B. Smoove, the instructor, with Peter Parker in the car, and they had some chemistry, I guess.
No, they didn't.
I know they didn't. And then, but somebody did think that, and so they decided to cast him as another teacher in the film. which was a mistake.
Oh, he's terrible. He sounds like a sore thumb. Martin Starr, yeah. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just works perfectly. Hey, man, some witches. I'm TV Smooth.
It's witches. Just witches. Different. Like, awkward personality. But, no, okay, he had one funny line when he said, when in Rome you do as the Romans do, when in Prague you get your feet wet. Yeah. Or when in Venice.
Something like that, yes. That was
not funny. Yeah, when in Venice you get your feet wet. Your socks wet.
I'm like, come on, J.B. Smooth. It didn't work for me in this film. Everybody else worked. I thought Zendaya did a great job. I really liked her.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her do something else. Has she done something else I've seen? Probably not.
She's got a TV show right now on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody seen it?
No.
No.
So.
It's a teen drama.
Yeah, I mean,
teen drama.
I watched her on that Disney Channel show, Shake It Up, when I was younger, but I didn't like her on that, but then I liked her.
I've seen that show.
I think it's just the dialogue that I didn't like her on.
Somebody get fries?
I still don't see her as Mary Jane. She's not Mary Jane. She's Michelle or MJ. She's a different character.
Which is fine.
I still think there's room. What's that?
That's fine for me. I don't care.
No, that's fine, but I think there's room for them to actually introduce a real Mary Jane at some point. And maybe they could run a joke with that, but since this is young Peter, it could be anybody. Can have any kind of role. Obviously, he's not going out with Betty Brant.
Someone could change their name, even.
I have a question. Are we how many Spider-Man films are we getting with Tom Holland? Because I really like him.
They want to do... Oh, sorry,
when is he going to look too old?
He's 20-something now. He looks fine.
Yeah, and he still looks the way he did back in The Impossible in, like, 2011.
Which I...
Like, that tsunami one?
I've seen it.
And so there was an interesting bit of information that came out after the film was released, and essentially the deal... Sony wanted to renegotiate the Spider-Man deal.
Okay.
And take the rights back. And so the arrangement they had was, if Far From Home does not make $1 billion, Sony would just take the rights back and they would take over the Spider-Man films.
Oh.
Again.
They already did in like 3 weeks,
and
right?
Take them out of, they've hit $1 billion. So it's, Marvel Studios has announced that they are making Spider-Man 3. It'll be in Phase 5.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you guys were following this last weekend, they introduced all the Phase 4 movies and shows. And Spider-Man is not in there, but Fantastic Four would be in Phase 5 as well, with Spider-Man and Black Panther 2 and a few other films.
Nice. So, I didn't hear anything about 5, but I saw all about 4. Sorry.
So at the very end of the presentation, they brought out Mahershala Ali, and they announced that he was playing Blade in a Blade film that had not been scheduled.
Okay.
And then Kevin Feige said, you know what, I didn't have to talk, this is all of Phase 4, I haven't had time to talk about Phase, which includes the Fantastic Four, and some of our plans with Mutants, and Black Panther 2, and Captain Marvel 2, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume, and then they've announced Spider-Man, and they've also announced that Ant-Man and 3 is it. And there are some Avengers projects as well.
Wow. Imagine a good Fantastic Four movie.
If anyone can do it, Marvel Studios will be the... So we'll see.
Okay.
But I think that the end credits and the Spider-Man set up a lot of stuff for the future universe, which are kind of interesting.
I agree.
And that's what you were going to lead into, Simon?
No, I was going to go on about Phase 4, but I want to do this first, and then we'll do Phase 4.
Okay.
Okay.
Want to talk about the first one?
Yeah, the one we swing around the city?
Yeah.
It was perfect. I loved it. Reminded me of the old Spider-Man cartoon. Spider-Man does whatever. I loved it.
Spider-Man.
Worked perfectly for me. I loved how Zendaya was freaking out. I'm like, I never thought of that.
I would freak out.
Fun fact, when they swing through the building that has the Guardian in the middle?
Yes.
That's the former Avengers Tower.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Right? And that's been purchased and developed by somebody. who that is.
And Bruce Wayne?
Well, could some people say it could be Oscorp, run by Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin. Or that it could be the new Baxter Building, home of the Fantastic Four. When he lands on the street, there's a signage on the street that says 1, 2, 3, and a circle with a question. And it's like basically like you would see, like I look out here on Eglinton Avenue and I see signage saying, Step 1, we're going to build this part of the subway in this season. This will launch in 2021 and this will launch in 2023. So it's kind of like what the colors of the circles are the different colors of the characters of the Fantastic Four, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
So I think it's trying to say that the Fantastic Four are coming. And so I think it's likely that the Avengers Tower is now the home of the Fantastic Four.
I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
I also like to clarify that I was memeing when I said Bruce Wayne. I know that the P is PC.
What? Okay. It wasn't Bruce Wayne?
I would like to clarify.
So he's on the street corner, and he says goodbye to Mary Jane, and something comes on the TV. Yeah. Were you guys surprised by who that was?
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, who wouldn't be?
To see Sam Raimi, Spider-Man style character, J. Jonah Jameson, played by J.K. Simmons, turn. Pretty cool.
Yeah. I got it. Justin. It was like he was born to play J. Jonah Jameson. He was so...
He was.
Like, you can't really cast that as anybody else. Unless Paul Giamatti's available.
It seemed like a rush job.
Probably was.
And didn't have the brush cut.
Probably had something else to do.
Yeah, maybe CGI haircut.
I don't know. I think I thought it was interesting how the footage that we see of Mysterio revealing stuff is far different from what actually happened in the sequence in the film.
Yeah, of course it is. Mysterio.
He's wearing the costume in the footage, and he's not where he was, his body was on the ground. So, like, there's kind of a weird, and this kind of bothered me because he fakes getting shot. Peter realizes it's an illusion, is him about to fire a gun at his, and then he becomes visible. And the next thing, he's on the ground, like he's been shot. He wasn't shot.
No.
And suddenly he's like, is this real? He goes to the glasses, and the glasses say, I'm not detecting any illusions. So, must be real. And then while all this is going on, Mysterio has background footage of him talking to the glass. Execute, don't execute, all that stuff. It was all bullshit. I don't think Mysterio died.
I don't think so either.
And it was all staged.
Yeah, at the time I thought maybe like he pre-recorded it, but now that's too convenient. Like what if him saying, yeah, execute them all is the passcode to really give the glasses back over to Peter?
Yeah. Yeah. Which he took after he died. He was basically on the ground and dying. Or pretending to.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of things, I think this is a big lead for some of the things that are going to happen over the next few movies, where I think that some of the villains are going to masquerade as heroes and put the heroes on the run. So Spider-Man will obviously be hunted. Or Peter Parker will.
Yeah, after they were
to say no, yes.
Revealed his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's some talk that maybe in the third film that they'll bring Matt Murdock out and defend him, and somehow Mysterio will be uncovered and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of people are talking about the fact that this could lead to Dark Avengers, where there's like an alternate version of the Avengers played by villains, essentially.
It's Kevin's favorite, rumors.
Yeah, I love rumors.
Oh, I know you do.
Rumor has it. And then there was the
Nick Fury sequence?
Yeah, thank you. I can't remember what Ben Mendelsohn's character is called.
So he plays Talos, the lead Skrull from Captain Marvel.
Yeah, okay, Skrull, that's right.
And it turns out he has been masquerading along with his wife, Nick Fury and Maria. And so they call up to the real Nick Fury and say, hey, you know, we tried to cover for you, but we don't know what to say about what's going on with the Avengers. And I suspect that's because, so we find Nick Fury's up in the Skrull ship, and he's on a beach in Tahiti initially, turns off the screen, and he's like, where are my damn shoes? On the big giant Skrull ship, but a lot of people are saying, how long has Talos been masquerading as Nick Fury? And some people believe that it has gone all the way back to Winter Soldier.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that when Nick Fury was shot and in the ICU, the fail-safe plan was that Talos would masquerade while he was recovering.
Yeah.
Or he may have, in fact, died and went to Tahiti, like Agent Coulson did.
Yeah.
To be revived.
All Asians are shielded. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's bring that crappy show into this.
I just covered. You know, him asking for his shoes. Is that a play on where's my super suit from The Incredibles?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So there's a lot of stuff. I think there's some hints of Secret Invasion in there, but I think we're going the opposite direction. I think we're going to say the Secret Invasion is that the kind of sleeper stuff and that the Skrulls have been working good people as opposed to the of Secret Invasion.
Hey, Evan, okay. Am I getting Kraven in my next Spider-Man film?
Are you getting who?
Kraven or Sinister Six, one or the other?
There's talk because Dimitri, so the guy that ran the bus, the guy with the goatee and the hair.
Yes.
He, in fact, is supposed to be, they're saying that he is Dimitri something. I don't know the Russian, the chameleon.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that he's been deception with the Skrulls. And that's why he was on the team. And that the chameleon is, in fact, related to Kraven the Hunt.
Okay, cool. I'm in. I want Kraven.
Yeah. So, but actually, there's also a rumor, too, that may make his debut in another film before moving to being a Spider-Man.
What film?
Black Panther.
Five Bad Panthers, the only way I can think of it'll work.
Yeah.
Okay, can we move on now?
So he would be...
Oh, no.
Yeah, all right, sure.
Keep talking about rumors. Drive you
nuts. Are you guys excited that Shang-Chi is a Torontonian?
Yes.
Yeah, the guy from Kim.
I'm very excited. I love Shang-Chi. One of my favorite characters. It doesn't get his due, so I'm quite looking forward to this.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a huge hit.
I haven't heard of the character, but it looks good.
Oh, I'm excited. One of my favorite characters.
Okay.
I've read every Shang-Chi. I've got Ernie Chan to draw me a Shang-Chi pencil sketch when I met him years ago.
Night.
It's beautiful. Okay, what are we moving on to? Godzilla or Always Be My Maybe? Or Rocket Man? Murder Mystery.
Kevin, are you still hearing Kevin break up?
Yes.
I'm only hearing every second word on this one.
Oh, well.
Who, me?
Yes.
You're hearing me break up?
Yeah, you're perfect now.
Oh, okay, because it's weird because you were just breaking up there for me.
Okay, must be you. Okay, moving along.
I think it's the call that okay, sorry. Who edited this out?
I'm not editing crap out. It takes me too long to edit.
Oh, okay. Hi, Internet.
Yeah, unless I have to edit, I won't. Not usually.
Okay. We could go on to Godzilla, then?
Go ahead.
All right. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, starring Vera Farmiga, Kyle Chandler, Millie Bobby Brown, Ken Watanabe, Dee Zhang, Bradley Whitford, Sally Hawkins, and Charles Dance.
Yeah. I have an idea. Let's make a monster movie and not show monsters until the end and make the movie have no sense at all other than these humans running around with doing stupid things and killing Godzilla. What do you think, Dan? Is that a good idea?
Sounds like a Godzilla movie to me.
How hard can it be to make a Godzilla movie? I want Godzilla. I want six monsters. I want Godzilla kicking the crap out of each other and let the humans trying to save themselves. That's all I want.
Well, all right. So you're describing the ultimate Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
This movie was the standard Godzilla movie. This is a Tokyo, Hong Kong, or whatever, Tokyo production of a standard Godzilla movie with a bunch of people doing stupid things.
Yes.
And then monsters appear for part of it, and then more stupid people tricks.
Because monsters save us, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. They're our planet's self-defense system.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a great idea. I have a billion-dollar invention that can take all the oxygen out and kill creatures.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it in a room. You just open a door, go in and get it, and you can leave.
I'm going to make a special little one-box thing that suddenly sends out a pulse that can control monsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But little tiny
pulse box.
But then I'm going to call Tywin Lannister and be like, hey, do you want to be a terrorist with me? Because we need to have genocide.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about my plan every 15 minutes in the movie, in case you missed it.
But actually, I'm going to do an 8-minute PowerPoint presentation to explain it to everyone at home.
Well, those might be the guys that missed it, went to the bathroom a couple of times.
And then Vera Farmiga talks directly to the audience. Do you need me to say it again?
Oh, I'm like, what the fuck was this shit? I didn't get it at all. I'm like, this is painful.
The first Godzilla, like the 2014 one, it was just boring, but this one was just bad.
I have an idea. Maybe Millie Bobby Brown should switch to her English accent. Maybe that would help me out more.
She was pretty good. Like, she was pretty good as a character, even though the character wasn't good.
Because that's what I want to see in a film, having two parents fight over a child in a Godzilla film. Adds great depth to the film.
I think it's silly to try to bring the monsters to the human level. Which they try to do a couple times in this, where human beings make eye contact with the monsters. The monsters would just see them as an ant.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, they're nothing to them.
Do you think the makers of this were watching? I was thinking maybe it's like the Godzilla cartoon. You know how the little kid talks to Godzilla all the time and Godzilla understands him?
Yeah, that's not the case.
Oh.
No, this was just stupid. I slept through a good chunk of it.
Oh, we all slept through. I couldn't understand it half the time because they kept telling me the plot every 15 minutes. I'm like, did I just see this? 15 minutes later, and Tyrion Lannister is going on.
Let's see what it can.
Charles Dance is telling me the plot now. I'm like, so really you have no story here other than to tell me the plot again.
And then they have to, like, clarify for the audience, like, hey, why did you hire me if you don't want to kill, like, the world?
Mm-hmm. Do you not want to work here? Okay, we're getting near the end. We better do something. Oh, Kevin, I have an idea. Why don't you bring over your toys? Dan, you bring over your toys and my toys, and we'll have a big monster battle royal, because that'll be interesting.
Oh. It's freaking, like, the Lego movie scene, fucking just using all the toys.
Well, that's exactly what it was. It felt like a big Lego scene battle. I'm like, this is terrible. I didn't even care about that one.
The Lion King sequence where they all bow to the Godzilla.
Oh, hello, Godzilla.
Just born to be king.
Oh.
Yeah, I've already forgot what I was going to say.
That's pretty much sums up Godzilla.
Yeah, we're done. I don't want to talk about it. Terrible film.
Yeah, just the fact that like her making a decision to bring out like the ancient like Godzilla opponent, that's just like, okay, so this stupid character decision is just so there could be a major movie like battle, major monster battle at the end.
How hard could it be to make a good Godzilla? Obviously difficult.
I'm I don't have high expectations for Godzilla versus Kong or whatever it's called.
You don't understand that. I love Godzilla films. Love them.
I haven't seen enough of them.
I've seen most of them.
I've seen just the 2014 one and this one, and I don't like them.
I've seen Bio-Godzilla, Mecha-Godzilla, Godzilla versus King Kong, the first Godzilla, Godzilla Raids Again.
Oh, the classic. Okay.
I've watched them all. So.
Destroy All Monsters.
I've seen Destroy All Monsters.
Shin Godzilla, though.
I've seen Godzilla.
Like Shin Godzilla.
Hated it.
Okay.
I thought it was okay.
I thought I heard good things about that one.
You guys have a good time talking about it. I'm going to have a nap. Mm-hmm. I saw it I saw when it came out. I won't remember much of it.
Okay. Anyway, we can move
like,
on.
One thing I liked about Shin Godzilla is that the human beings were important to that movie.
They were, because they needed them to mine the planet.
To what?
Weren't they mining the planet? Or is that the cartoon?
No, that's something else. Basically, this thing shows up in a center in the Shin district of Japan, and it's like a larva that evolves into Godzilla.
I haven't seen this.
It's basically, you haven't seen it? Yo, you have to see it. It's so
no,
good.
I saw it. This is not the cartoon we're talking about.
No, the 2016
movie.
One.
It's a live action movie.
No, then I've never seen it.
Okay, so Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, it's like 86% around the Tomatoes. That's why
we're discussing two different films. I'm discussing some Godzilla cartoon that I saw.
Interrupting me. It's the film is basically Godzilla as a bureaucratic problem to be tackled, as opposed to a monster movie. Like, how are we going to defeat the monster? All that stuff. It's the bureaucracy and the scientists that figure out how to stop Godzilla, which makes it actually quite fascinating.
Okay, I will watch it.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that then. Yeah. Sorry,
right,
I mean,
so what's next?
Gave you lots of options.
This one, Do You Always Be My Maybe?
Sure.
Okay, I haven't seen this one, so you could do it. Starring Ali Wong, Randall Park, James Salo, Daniel Day Kim, Karen Stoney and Keanu Reeves. I don't know if that's one's a spoiler.
It is a spoiler, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Sally.
I thought this film had potential at times. I think the major problem is I hate Ali Wong. She's terrible. Yeah. I find her offensive. I think she's a terrible actor. I think she's a fantastic stand-up comedian. And I just find the film relies so heavily on her chemistry with Randall Park, and I never saw it. If it was there, I missed it.
Right.
And I like Randall Park a lot more than I liked her, but again, I just thought it was cliche, basically written. I like the songs, but he didn't write them, I don't think. The tennis ball song, because they had too many tennis balls, I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. But again, nothing was in this film other than Keanu Reeves to keep you watching it.
Yeah, I thought his music sequences were fun.
Yes.
But not great. You're right.
Okay, great. Yay.
You're right. No chemistry, but some funny dialogue. It was well written, I thought. But just not great. Until you get to the Keanu Reeves sequence, and then it becomes something else.
It is insane, that Keanu Reeves scene. It, like, he walked in from John Wick 3 off the set and just showed up here in the same outfit.
Basically, in the same suit that he was wearing.
Is he in John Wick character?
No, Keanu Reeves. He's the actor.
Oh, he's playing himself.
That's why it works so well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He, Randall Park wants to admit that he likes Ali Wong, and they had a childhood thing. He sees her at the market, and he says, he's about to ask her out again, and she says, I met somebody, and we had sex. And he's like, oh, she goes, yeah, I met the one. Hey, you know you have your thing on the side. Let's go and do a double. And she says, so when she says the one, I didn't quite catch that, but it turns out she meant the Matrix as in Neo.
Oh, I missed that joke.
Yeah. So basically they're sitting there and she goes, oh, here he is. And she blows kisses at him and stuff. And then walking in slow motion is basically John Wick Keanu Reeves. And he's like waving to the people as he enters the room and he walks slowly. But it's like a parody of himself. He's like, you know, they go to this high price whatever restaurant, which is ridiculous, with like sugar bubbles, dessert, and essence of Caesar salad for an appetizer. And then their main dish is hilarious. It's he basically goes to the chef. He says, "I'm interested in eating something to do with time, with the relationship of time." He says, "Oh, I have the perfect thing for you.
Oh my God.
The meat that you eat, we will give you headphones and you can hear the animal that we killed for your dinner."
Yes.
And the sounds of it. And so you see Keanu eating and he's got the headphones on and he's listening and he's tasting something and then he starts crying. And then he stops, and then he eats some of the meat, and then he cries a little bit more. Like, just sort of, it was quite amusing.
It sounds like the animal's dying, recording something.
Well, not the animal's dying, but the animal just making noises. Like, mooing okay. Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah. Not so lovely like that.
That seems so.
No. And then during the course of the sequence, he and Randall Park fight, and which is kind of funny. And then Ali Wong takes Randall Park out, and Randall Park's sort of girlfriend, Keanu, because she wants celebrities to do stuff. So.
Okay.
She's kind of a groupie, I think, his girlfriend.
Kind of, yeah.
Because she's hanging out with him because he's a musician.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I liked to see her in some other films. I thought she had potential.
Yeah.
Of all of them. I mean, Keanu's Keanu. I have no issues. I don't know. I mean, do I want to see Ali Wong ever again? No. Randall Park? No.
Oh, I like Randall Park.
Randall Park's okay. I thought he was good in Ant-Man.
Yeah. And he was good in... Okay, The Invitation wasn't very good, but I liked him in that.
I'm kind of hoping that Randall Park will join... As agent, whatever. He'll join the cast of Shang-Chi.
I hope so.
Oh, as Jimmy Woo?
Yes. One of my favorite characters, Jimmy Woo.
Yeah, Jimmy Woo is a great character. Give him something to do.
Okay, give him something to do. Just leave Ali Wong at home.
Yeah.
Let her do another Netflix special, because she makes the funniest ones.
I recommend people watch it just for the Keanu Reeves sequence.
I agree.
And for the I punch Keanu Reeves song.
Do we know the timestamp for the Keanu Reeves?
Halfway?
Something like that.
Okay. Or, I mean, they could just scroll through on their freaking computer, look for Keanu Reeves, the slow motion scene. Okay.
Okay. What's next?
Murder Mystery?
Or right.
Rocket Man, your choice.
Sorry?
Rocket Man or Murder Mystery? I don't care which one.
I don't think we have to do Rocketman this one. We've already done that on a different one, right?
Nope, this one.
Rocketman was this one?
Yes.
Really?
I have it written down, yes.
Okay, sorry. Murder Mystery. Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Luke Evans, Gemma Arterton, and Terrence Stamp.
Dan, did you watch this?
Yes, I did.
So, where's Adam Sandler's wife in the film, real wife?
Jennifer Shannon?
No, that's his wife in the film. Where's his real wife in the film?
I'm confused what you're asking.
His wife plays a character in the film. His real wife. Where is she?
I don't remember.
Kevin, do you know?
Nope.
The stewardess. No clue. She's the stewardess.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't remember. I mean, I recognize her, but I don't remember.
Fun fact. There you go. Fun fact for you. My problem with it, I think it's the best Adam Sandler Netflix movie he's put out yet.
Yeah.
I can agree with you there. Yeah,
it's not intolerable, but it's not terribly funny either.
I think it would work without him. And if they worked on the script a little more, I didn't like them how they kept going back to saying, he's not a detective. Who cares? Really does not help the plot at all. We got it. I don't understand why they even did that off the beginning. It made no sense.
I would put this on the same level as, like, Grown Ups.
See, I hate Grown Ups, both of them. My kids love them. I hate them.
Yeah. They're watchable with some funny.
Grown Ups 1 is a guilty pleasure. Grown Ups 2 is straight trash.
I gave Grown Ups 2 a 0.
I gave it a 12 out of, like, 100.
There you go.
But, I mean, the first Grown Ups. But
first Grown Ups is watchable.
Yeah.
And he's not unlikable.
Correct. And Jennifer Aniston's like, I don't know what she's doing nowadays.
Yeah. Like, hey, I have...
Whatever, she does movies with him.
I have murder mystery novels that I like, but now I'm in a murder mystery. What? I kind of like that meta.
Well, you like the meta cold medication thing? She's discussing two different cold medications for the movie?
No, like the way that it's like self-aware.
Well, it definitely was self-aware because she kept going, what's next? What's next? Well, this is the point where you point out the villain. I'm like, oh.
It doesn't really work. It's all, like, predictable. But, I mean, it's, like, not offensive, I guess. It's just not funny. But it's kind of watchable.
I just wish they would do more. Like, the Indian character, I thought the general was fine. I thought the general's henchman worked. It's the Indian fellow. I can't remember his name. I feel bad that I'm identifying with that, but I can't remember his name in the film. I thought.
Oh, yeah, the guy that was trying to be gangster, but he's.
I think he needed more to do. I think the problem is not. Like, Luke Evans has lots to do.
Yeah.
Emma Arterton has lots to do.
Yeah.
The accountant race car driver has lots to do.
You don't speak English, but okay.
And, I mean, I think the problem is if they just flushed it out a bit more and maybe massaged it a bit, maybe brought in a different script writer, they could have fixed this, a few problems.
And maybe, it's actually but it's just watchable. A time waster on Netflix.
Hey, this is a good movie to watch with your spouse. It's not, it doesn't want to be offended by anything, likes Jennifer Aniston, and watches it. Nobody's offended by these movies. You leave all happy. It's a nice wrap up at the end.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, even a car chase. And I mean, I don't mean to be like unfair to Adam Sandler, but if I see his name on the movie, like automatically my like anticipation is like nowadays it's like I gotta watch this.
But people
and
love
I mean,
him.
Sometimes it surprises you, but
people love this guy. Look how much films he's made on Netflix. People obviously watch them.
But he's in the new. Like Benny Safdie and the other like the guys who made Good Time, he's in their new movie. It's coming to TIFF. It looks pretty. It doesn't sound too bad.
All right, we'll see. I've seen Good Time. I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't really like this movie. So
I liked it more than Kevin. When did that happen?
What's that?
I never like anything more than you.
I wasn't offended by it, which usually I find with Adam Sandler.
Yeah, fair enough.
I thought it was just kind of like done this, done that. Like this has been done before, and some of the things were kind of stupid. So,
well, it's Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah, like if you gave me the choice to watch this or that Adam Sandler and Chris Rock one with the wedding.
Oh,
like I'd watch this 50 times before I watched 10.
Yeah.
Or Ridiculous 6.
No, I haven't.
I never saw that.
And, yeah, or even the I know it's not Adam Sandler, but like same like the David Spade one with like the father of some good father.
Oh God,
something with
father. Kevin picked that one. Blame him.
Something with father in it. I don't.
I saw that
Father of the Year.
Oh, yeah, okay, that was it, okay. All right, so what's next?
Last film, and then we're done.
Rocket Man. Starring Taron Egerton, Jamie Bell, Richard Madden, Bryce Dallas Howard. I'm not sure if there's any other people.
Who cares?
Directed by?
Dexter Fletcher.
Who finished...
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
I'm just filling in the blanks for you, Kevin.
Yeah, that's what I meant to do. And who saw this one?
We all did, I think.
I think we all did.
We all did?
Yeah.
Daniel, would you? You can start. What do you think?
Okay, I really like this one because, like, I mean, I think, see, the fantasy sequences and the music numbers really work for me. And I think since it's, like, an Elton John biopic, like, he's not, like, a traditional guy. So this is not going to be a traditional biopic. And, like, I find with, like, biographies, sometimes I'm, like, I'll only watch him if I'll, like, I'll usually only, like, want to watch him if I'm, like, I'm interested in the person. But with this, I think it's able to, like, the fantasy of it and the musical numbers and, like, the great performance by, like, Taron Egerton, I think it's just able to elevate it above, like, a normal, like, biopic. Like, I thought, like, Bohemian Rhapsody was just really flat for me, but I thought, like, this was able to, like, elevate it to, like, a new level.
I have to 100% disagree with everything you said.
Okay.
I thought there wasn't a biography here. I thought it was just a bunch of musical numbers running into one another, and I didn't enjoy any of them, really. I didn't mind I'm Still Standing, and I didn't mind the first opening number. But after that, I really had no interest in the film.
So you liked the first opening and then the last one?
Yes, and in the middle, I was just bored.
No, I thought it would work. I don't know.
I'm kind of in between the two of you. I like the film, and I like the performances. I thought Taron Egerton was really good.
No issue.
Yeah.
He worked.
And I thought Jamie Bell was actually really good as Bernie Taupin.
So do I.
And I kept thinking as I was watching that movie that I thought Jamie Bell would make a great Wolverine.
Yes.
And that, as I was watching that movie. But that was me digressing to comic shit. So basically, Bohemian Rhapsody was, I liked it, but it was kind of boring at times. And you could tell that it was really handheld true by the band. That they kind of washed away some of the more scandalous aspects of Freddie's life to present him as this nice, misunderstood guy that everybody loved. And I think that people did like him, but he was also, like,
an asshole,
too.
Yeah.
But I think the living performance is really what makes that film pull together.
We're discussing Rocket Man, right, Kevin, not Live Aid?
No, I know. And okay. So going to Rocket Man,
yes.
Where it's more of a, it's like a hybrid between a play, a musical play, where you have numbers in between a storyline. And in this case, the storyline is Elton John becoming famous. And then dealing with the repercussions of that, with love and drugs and alcohol and abuse, and then overcoming that. And it's pretty much the story of his life. I mean, he did do all those things. He did overcome alcohol and drug use, and so forth. So there, I really liked the songs, so I enjoyed the movie on that level. And I enjoyed some of the fantasy sequences. Are you breaking up?
Oh, no, I was just trying to say okay to the note.
Oh, okay. I like the open, again, the open, you're right, the opening scene where the kid was singing and then the app. I was watching from a distance along with the rest of the people in the support group. I thought that was an interesting look. I thought it was an interesting look at his parents and his relationship with his parents and his grandmother. I liked it. I thought it was a good film. I have no complaints.
Yeah. I don't know, I felt something with this, but I didn't really feel anything with the Bohemian. That's where I stand on this.
I think my problem with Bohemian was that the facts were wrong and changed. And this one basically starts out by saying, we're not going to get them all right, but it's going to be basically a ride.
Yeah.
This is a musical fantasy of the life of Elton John.
Yeah, and I think it gives it more leeway that way, that it's like, all right, this really didn't happen. So I think, like, with all the fantasy aspects of it.
Yeah.
Like, if they do get anything wrong, I feel like that might give it more leeway.
Yeah. No, I thought this was very watchable, and the performances were great, and I thought I enjoyed the music, so.
Yeah. Only way I would have liked better if it ended with Elton John's cameo in Kingsman 2.
Kingsman? Yeah.
Just give me that self-aware ending. Like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Dressed as a giant chicken doing a karate chop through the air.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait. You're probably wondering how I got here.
Okay, well, that's the end of the show, guys. Have a great night. Follow us on Twitter. We're done. We're finished.
No, did anybody buy it?
I got nothing.
Nah, I didn't. I downloaded stuff, but not.
Hey.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I bought Hellboy. I bought Shazam. I bought Majestic.
Majestic. That old Majestic. Jim Carrey movie?
That's the Jim Carrey one? Okay.
The one with Jim Carrey, yeah.
Saw it years ago.
And I bought the Batman quadrilogy again.
What about Hush?
I did buy Batman Hush.
Yeah. Oh. Should I tell you now I've already seen Batman Hush?
Sure. I've already seen it too.
Yeah, I downloaded it, but I haven't watched it yet.
That'll be on the next episode then.
It will be. Okay, guys. Follow us on Twitter at www.extrafutures.ca. Our continuing interview series is going along. Next up is Bullet County, which is available on Netflix. So it's our first film of that. And probably be slowing down the next couple of weeks until I'm on holidays, and that's about it. Find us on YouTube at Extra Features Podcast. And that's about it.
It's almost time for me to do Fan Expo Boston and Fan Expo Canada. So that'll keep me pretty busy. But, yeah, I mean, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever, YouTube, I guess. Are we still on YouTube?
We still have 6 episodes up. I think that's all she's going to do for us. Well, that's great. She did some work. That's great. Somebody else wants to pick up the slack. That'd be great.
And then we know how to do it, to post it.
They're all posted. It's all posted.
No, so she told you how to, post them?
We'll have this conversation off the air again. Email us at extrafutures@gmail.com, and have a great night, everyone. Goodbye.
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 To contact us, please email at extrafutures@gmail.com and join us at our Facebook page.